Because obviously our collection belongs to the public. We're a public institution. The public's funds are used to acquire, store and digitise them. So we've had government funding for our digitisation programs. So therefore that goes towards this digitisation. And really, what's the point of having this stuff if people can't view it and use it? There's no point hiding it behind brick walls in a building, and once you've digitised it, there's no point putting it behind some sort of barrier. So we're very happy for people to use them.
Are these maps and plans available at the actual State Library to see in person?
Yes, but one of the reasons we've digitised them is because they are difficult to handle, and the less they're handled, the longer they'll survive. So in actual fact, we will ask people to look at a digital file first, make sure this is the actual subdivision that they want to see, and then we can bring it up from stack for them. But we really are going to encourage people to try and look at the digital first to make their selection, because they're in large folders. Some of the subdivisions, some of the suburbs have 200, 300, 400 maps in them. And then to move through the folder, physical folder, to find that map is quite time-consuming. So we would actually prefer people to have a look at the digital first, really decide what they want to have a look at, and then come in and have a look at it.
That might actually lead into my next question quite well.
Yeah.
Why now? Is it purely because of the age of these documents?
It's partly because a number of years ago we got quite a fantastic bit of funding from the state government to digitise our collection. And we wanted to make sure that we were digitising across the range of our collections, so not just books and manuscripts and newspapers, but also pictures and map collections. I'm particularly interested in the map collections, and I can be particularly banging on about maps. Probably I drove people mad until I actually said, yes, we'll do the subdivision plans. So it was about the opportunity and the equipment, but it was also about the fact that they are incredibly popular. People really like them. People ask us for them all the time. And so we knew that it was something that would be popularly supported, would be really good for researchers and for local historians, and also that they are very fragile. And the more we encourage people to use them, the greater danger there was to their physical strength.
I was having a look today at some of the old plans online for the suburb where I live in Leichhardt.
Yes.
And I learned all this crazy stuff. Like, I didn't even know there was a tram line that used to be on Norton Street. Like, where my house is now was actually just farmland.
Yes, yeah.
Do all Sydney suburbs have these kind of hidden histories?
All have their hidden histories, but not all of them are documented in subdivision plans. So the subdivision plans range from around the 1860s through to about the 1930s, 40s. So if your suburb existed around that time, then it's fine. Some of the newer suburbs out in suburban Sydney won't have subdivision plans. And some of the suburbs will have more or less, depending on how they were developed. So if a suburb had a lot of subdivisions, you know, a developer was subdividing land and subdividing and again, developing new estates, you really get that fantastic history of that local area. Some of them, like the older places around Woolloomooloo, they have really early hand-drawn subdivision plans because they had a different history to the places like Leichhardt. That was a huge piece of land that was gradually divided up over time, you know, over 50, 60 years. So I think there are a few suburbs that won't be documented in the collection.
Do you have a few favourite little tidbits that you've picked up through all your research?
I think what you were saying about trams is really interesting. I think that the plans that show the transport that used to be there, the train stations, the tram stops, all of those sorts of things show a side of our infrastructure that people aren't aware of. But it also highlights the fact that a suburb really depends on those sorts of bits of infrastructure. I think it's interesting. I also love the different styles for the different suburbs. So Leichhardt and some of the others, you know, the older suburbs, the style of their plan is sort of quite black and white and sort of reflects a really 19th century workers' you know, the plots of land are smaller. There's lots of them. You can imagine a lot of workers' cottages coming on board, whereas there's, you know, there's all those fancy, gaudy, colourful ones in the beachside suburbs of Sydney, and you can almost see them being worth, you know, $1 million in the future because they've got fancy cars and, you know, beautiful girls lying on the beaches. You know, I think the map's a great piece of social history.
You probably know more about Sydney and Sydney's history than most Sydneysiders. So what, in your opinion, makes Sydney unique to any other city in the world?
What makes Sydney unique is, I think, that we seem to have gone through so many different stages, from a very early colonial society through to a bustling industrial town. The harbour, the rivers have been so important for that early industrial growth. Then we have the boom of the residents and the suburbs, and I think the constantly changing nature of Sydney. And I think sometimes that's what people love and hate about Sydney, that some people really want it to be very historical and they get upset when they see things change. But I think that's just what Sydney is. It's just constantly changing.